Hello everyone, welcome to the second episode of Talking Observability podcast, and today we have with us JC. JC, you want to introduce yourself?
Yep, thank you, Yajesh. I am Jose Carlos Chavez. I work at Traceable AI as a software engineer, but I am also contributed to different observability projects like Hypertrace, Zipkin, and lately I've been doing some stuff in OpenTelemetry. I also was part of OpenTracing back in the days, and I'm so excited to be here.
So from the whole introduction, I see that you have a lot of experience in observability tracing space, and you have been working on this for quite some time, right? So in general, what's your take on current situation of observability or current state of observability and the way we reached here? As you said, you worked on Zipkin, open tracing, and now you're even working on OpenTelemetry and modern platforms like Hypertrace. So how do you describe the current state of observability and the journey we took to come here?
Right. So I think observability is one of those things that naturally emerged when companies needed to warranty robust systems, but then became crucial when the industry moved towards distributed architectures, because moving from monolith into a distributed architecture makes things to be really much harder in terms of understanding, making a mental model, debugging stuff, right, maintaining it. So robustness of systems isn't merely an engineering excellence problem. It's also a key concept for revenue generation, right? Nowadays, the internet sites can suffer a severe impact on outages or degraded functioning, not only because they stop selling stuff or people stop consuming and their things, but also in terms of credibility if you are a platform, for example. So it makes sense now that observability is a pillar in every engineering department nowadays, and not only is let's say scoped to engineering people, but also it has some cross let's say departments interests, like engineering, ops, security, even product departments and all that.
Interesting. So in a way, you are saying that observability basically gives a holistic view of complete operations around the company or around the organization, which helps people in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. So talking about that part, like I see that you have worked a lot around tracing. Like in initial days, you worked on Zipkin, and even today, you are working on the distributed tracing platform like Hypertrace. So why do you think tracing is such an important signal when it comes to observability?
Right. So I would say tracing is a rich aggregation of signals in a system, right? If you compare it to, for example, its siblings like metrics or logs, because it's contextual, like, it's not like a nice a trace is a set of spans, for example, and then spans are in a way telling you parts of the stories, but you need the full trace to understand the whole story, right? So that's why I think it's contextual, but also it's timeline aware, right? Everything happens across the time, so it's not like an isolated point in the timeline, but it's describing a whole timeline. And also it presents you a model on how your components work together to achieve a certain task, which is something also important, because I like to see it as a three-dimensional thing, because so you have the time, then you have the components, but then you see the interactions, right? Which makes sense afterwards. This is very useful when it comes to understand a failure in a system. Remember that we're talking about this, well, nowadays we're talking about distributed architectures. Distributed tracing has been there for a while, even before the times of internet. But when it comes to a distributed architecture, basically distributed systems are gonna fail anyways. You cannot avoid that. So what happens is that a failure can happen in a different ways of the, in the concurrency of different things happening. So what you want as an operator is to understand how it failed and if possible, why it failed, right?
Yes.
But that's post facto, right? That's after it failed. There is also a pre facto, let's say, use because tracing, given the understanding that it gives to you, it also allows to find potential source of problems, right? Like bottlenecks, or what is the critical path, or what things can or could run concurrently, because you will see the interactions of the components. You will see a path, an unstructured graph in a way. So that's why I think it's so important for operational activities. In general, tracing tells you not only that something failed, but how it failed and who was involved in the failure. That helps you to understand, first of all, what was the piece that failed? Second of all, after identifying that piece, you could go to the owners of the piece and discuss more, but based on data, not making just conjectures about, okay, this could have happened, yeah, right? It's all information over guessing.
Yep. So in general, you are saying your systems are ought to fail anyway. So what tracing basically provides you is a context which helps you understand the cause of the failure and makes the mitigation of the risk or failure easier, right?
Yeah, cool. Exactly.
So as we are talking about tracing and in general, it's very interesting to see that how tracing can help in observability, right? So, but there are a lot of projects around it. Like open tracing was there back in the days, and then now you're saying that you also started contributing with OpenTelemetry, right? So do you have any comments on these efforts that are being made in standardizing the tracing formats or telemetry formats in general?
Right. I think the premise of having standard concepts around telemetry is good. Even standard implementations and more so standard data models, which is something that, for example, in open tracing wasn't a thing, but then we realized that it was the most important thing in a way. But I think more important is how we learn the use cases. For example, when I joined open tracing, I wasn't part of any vendor. I was just a user, and yet I managed to be the one who wrote the official PHP library. I think users are a very important part of defining a standard, as much as vendors, because they bring a little different mindset than vendors, because they have their own needs that not necessarily are run by a product, right? Because they are users in a way, they're customers. So yeah, I think it makes sense. We, as a software industry, we just need to make sure that we land the use case is right, and we involve the right people for this.
That really makes sense. So talking about use cases, as you initiated, so what are the different interesting use cases you have came across while working on tracing, or what are the problems you saw people are solving with tracing these days and that caught your interest?
Right. So I would say most of the people approach distributed tracing to solve a crucial problem, which is understanding failures and understanding critical path. That's I would say 90 something percent of the people. I don't have the number, and I don't want to just throw it a number that is not true, but in my experience, most of the people do that. But there are other very interesting use cases, because as I mentioned before, tracing has a very rich data model, which can supply different use cases if you process the data. For example, my own company, Traceable, build a whole security platform on top of distributed tracing, right? We basically analyze tracing data to detect attacks, suspicious user interactions, deviation from normal traffic. We get all of that out of distributed tracing data. And this is particularly interesting because, first, because tracing data has, I would say, all the information we need to do that. But also because our target isn't operators or like in the usual concept of operators or teams, right? Like development teams. We target an audience that is mostly related to security, and sometimes they don't even know about distributed tracing because it's not their thing, right? So there is this mixture of, okay, we provide observability because we do that, but also on top of that, we provide your security. So that's an interesting use case, in my opinion, for distributed tracing. But in general, whatever use case that implements data crunching or machine learning or whatever you call it, on top of tracing, whatever mechanism of intelligence on top of the tracing model will bring value to the user, because the data you collect, and sometimes it's a lot of data that you collect, is there, right? It's just sitting in a bucket, yes, waiting for you to make sense out of it. Sometimes you do that like manually, you look at the traces and say, okay, this is interesting, this isn't interesting. But once you use automations to make sense out of it, it could help proactively users. For example, back in the times when I was working at Expedia, they also have an open source project called Haystack. Expedia has an interesting project about finding trends and based on span data, right? They were basically ingesting span data and then foreseeing trends, finding changes and all that. Other interesting use cases is, of course, the which tracing partially implements, but with some challenges, which is, for example, the architecture diagram, live architecture diagram, right? Whatever diagram you build in a company, if you have three services that will last valid, but then as long as the architecture or the system grows, it gets outdated really easily. And tracing data is there representing all these components, all these interactions. So there are a lot of tooling built on top of tracing that is quite popular, presenting you architectures. You could actually see your system, see the interactions, see which, let's say, which component call which, even seeing the instances. All these could be achieved with tracing data, because basically all this data is carried in tracing data. So yeah, these are the interesting use case. I would say the security one is pretty unique. I really like it. Not just because I work at Traceworld, but because when I heard of it, it was really interesting. So yeah, those are interesting use cases I saw.
That's cool. And in general, so as our title suggests, so do you consider tracing as a foundation of observability then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I don't usually like talking about the three pillars of observability. I think it's more like a marketing term, which is somehow valid. But I consider tracing one of the tools that provides more value among observability tools. Not saying it's the only one, not saying it's the ultimate one, but as of now, it's the one that provides more value.
Good. So in general, I see that you talk really highly about tracing, and you see it as one of the major thing when it comes to three pillars of observability, right? It helps a lot to users. But every coin has two sides. So what are the different challenges users face while implementing distributed tracing or using distributed tracing in their organizations?
Right. So This is an interesting question because implementing distributed tracing and observability in general isn't a one sprint task. It requires some changes, not only in the code, because that's probably the least important, but also in how the team operates, the owners of a service. But talking purely technically, there are challenges. For example, instrumentation is the first one you will face, for example, where depending on how many services you have to put in instrumentation in all of them to make sense of the data. Remember that we need all the components to be instrumented and to propagate the context so the distributed tracing model works. So yeah, definitely instrumentation is one of the challenges. Finding the right language, or not the right language, but the right libraries to instrument your application, finding the instrumentation for certain libraries, and then make it in a way that is not that disruptive, that is one challenge. Of course, there are things that help. For example, what we do at Traceable is that we provide, or HyperTrace in more specifically, we provide, for some languages, we provide auto instrumentation. That aces, of course, the process, but there are other languages that you cannot just do that. For example, Golang, because it doesn't have a runtime. So yeah, then you have to certainly put in code and make sense that, or make sure that it's not that disruptive for the users. That's one thing. Another thing is sampling. Sampling is the thing that probably is a pending challenge for not only for vendors, but also for users. Because yeah. Getting sampling right is really hard. Probably most of the people don't get it right. And also it's very interesting that there is no definition of what is the right sampling. People just do it in the way they can, what makes sense for them, what adjusts to their budget, because sampling is probably the concept that has an impact on costs, operational costs. Some people can afford 100% sampling, some people cannot. And you have to find a balance. Sometimes it's a manual balance. You have to check and say, try this number or try this strategy, and then, okay, it works, it doesn't work, right? So sampling is a very interesting piece. Lately, I've been working in Collector for OpenTelemetry, and I think there are different strategies to sort that out, but there are still challenges. I would say, depending on the size of your company, depending on your commitment to tracing or observability, it can get a really monster, the sampling problem. For example, Netflix uses a Zipkin approach for sampling, which is secondary sampling, which is a really complicated thing, but that works for them, right? I don't see that working for smaller companies because it's simply complicated. It does the work, but it's complicated. That's the thing. You cannot get it. No one can get right at the moment, sampling. Okay. Then there is ingestion of data that, depending on your sampling strategy, might or might not be a problem because, yeah, if you basically produce a lot of data and then you have to ingest it, it's not trivial depending on the size of the architecture. That's usually tied to operational costs. That's another challenge. Probably the other challenge is what you have on top of all this data, right? The dashboards or the views, or if you have alerting, all these kind of things, you have to sort that out on top of the tracing data. And last But not less important is the cultural mindset shift, because you can have whatever tracing server you want, you can collect 100% of the data, but you need to develop a culture around observability in your team and in your company, more specifically, if you want to make this right. If your company see observability as a second class citizen in the engineering excellence, saying like, okay, like what happens, for example, with some people on testing that says, okay, tests can come later or whatever, same could happen to observability. And I would say it depends on how you implemented observability and why you implemented observability, because if it emerges as a need, then you will probably will be getting value out of it. If it was imposed or you just don't feel don't need it, then the data is gonna steer there and then nobody will look at it. So yeah, it requires a cultural involvement as well.
That makes sense. It's pretty interesting. It's how adoption of a single service or a single mindset can cause a cultural shift, or you need to do that cultural shift to adapt to a certain mindset, right? That's interesting. So talking about, like, as we talk about challenges, and it will be pretty helpful for many people, I guess, but any suggestions or advice for the people who are exploring distributed tracing or observability platforms and want to get started with tracing in their organizations?
Right. So I would say observability isn't a goal. It's a tool to achieve your goals. So you should land it at your own pace, but consider it's not enough to add instrumentation, as I said, and put out a UI. There is an operational mindset that should be brought to the teams. Once that is in, you will get a huge set of tools to triage problems, to find answers to certain behaviors, to understand what things could be improved, to foresee issues. And as simply as everybody can get or can respond to an outage with the same level of knowledge, because you don't need to carry a mental model of your distributed architecture. You simply go, for example, look at tracing data and you will understand how the system is working, no matter whether you are 1 month in the company or 5 years in the company. Everybody will get the same, let's say, tools for responding to an outage. So it takes time. Don't expect to get immediate value unless you are, or you will get immediate value for specific things, but the overall improvement can come with the time, because as I said, it requires a cultural change, and that doesn't happen from one day to the other. But it's totally worth if you are moving towards, or if you are in a distributed architecture, or if you are in an internet business with high traffic.
Cool. Thank you. Like, I feel that will be very important, and that will be very helpful for people who are exploring or who are trying to adapt to new observability platform or distributed tracing platforms. And that was my last question. So thanks, JC, for joining in and giving us very insightful thoughts around tracing and observability. And we really second the notion of you saying tracing being the foundation of observability. And I'm really looking forward to how the tracing paradigm itself evolves and how we see the observability space growing with distributed tracing in the coming days. So thank you all for joining in, and hope you had fun. Hope you learned something new, and thanks.
Yeah, thank you everyone. Thank you, Yajus, for inviting me. If people wanna get in touch, I am always happy listening about new use cases around tracing and observability in general. So you can find me on Twitter or on Hypertrace and Slack. So yeah, thank you everyone. And thanks, Yajesh.